Well, we're talking this month about outreach, and for the first couple of weeks here, we're taking just a very simple view on a couple of fundamental elements of our purpose in Christ and how that naturally results in outreach, in the act of reaching out. Last week, we talked about being the light and how simply being the light, being what we've been asked to be, will result naturally in reaching out in this idea of outreach to the world around us, that being the light, just being a light, will naturally result in outreach. It's not as difficult as sometimes we try to make it. You just be what you've been asked to be. So today follows the same pattern of thought that last week did, that outreach will naturally happen when we are bearing fruit. When we're doing what we should be doing in that area, outreach will naturally happen. When we bear fruit, it will reach out to others. That act of reaching out will be a byproduct of bearing fruit. So let's just start it just by looking kind of at the beginning of fruit. Jesus says in John chapter 12, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." How many of you guys, I perk up when I hear Jesus do that. You know, it's a truly, truly, or in other versions of the Bible, verily, verily, or truly, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears what? Much fruits. I want you to notice, too, in some of these, in the passages that we're looking at, Jesus doesn't just say fruit a lot of times. He says much fruit. The desire is an abundance of fruit, not just some, not just a little, not a moderate amount, much fruit. And in this small little illustration here, he talks about bearing fruit, that the seed must die to bring life. So let's go and take notes there. The seed must die to bring life. Bearing fruit requires dying to ourself. See, with God, life comes from death. We have to die to ourself. We have to die. The seed must die to bring life. That's how it works in God's kingdom. Scripture we read last week about baptism in Romans chapter 6. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his what? Into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The seed must die to bring life. The seed must die to bring much fruit. When we died to our old self, we were baptized into Christ. I want us to revisit that day in our mind. That day of surrender, that day of rebirth, that day of renewal, that day when we were made new, that day when we were made in the image and the likeness of Christ, that day when we were imbued with God's Holy Spirit, not just his Holy Spirit, but we were imbued with a gift or gifts, spiritual gifts, charismatic gifts to serve in the body. You died. I died. We all died. As Christians, to become a Christian, you die. The seed must die to bring life. If all you did was die when you became a Christian, that wasn't the purpose. Jesus said the seed falls and it dies to do what? To bring much fruit. Yes, the life, to bear much fruit, to bring much fruit. So all of us who are Christians, we died. The purpose of new life was to bear much fruit. And if we're not bearing much fruit, we're not serving the purpose that we were brought to life for. There's another agricultural parallel that we experience, and we're going to be hopping around to a number of these different pictures in Scripture of bearing fruit. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vine. I am the vine. In fact, he says, I am the true vine. He includes a clarifying statement there. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine grower, gardener. Let's write this down. The branch must stay connected to bear much fruit. Our fruit bearing is directly related to our connectivity to Jesus. Jesus says he is the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. If he designates himself as the true vine, that means there are other vines out there. Now, looking at this specifically, he was talking about Israel and the mess that they were, and they had been compared to a vine in the past. But what about us today? What are some other vines as we look at Jesus? We say Jesus is the true vine. What are some other vines that we connect to? And we connect to work for a sense of purpose, for a way of making a living. We connect to the money vine for security, to get more stuff. We connect to the money vine to get a measure of our value. We connect to the entertainment vine to find pleasure and enjoyment in life. And those things that I'm mentioning here, you know, work and money, entertainment, there's a number of other things that surround us. They're not bad things that are in our life, but what's dangerous is when they become the vine we are connected to instead of Jesus. See, these things, work and money and enjoyment and whatever other things, those should be branches off of you that you're the branch connected to the vine. The problem is when those things are not over here on this side of you as being just extensions and pieces of you, they become the vine you're connected to, and that's a big deal. When we go to work, we get a feeling of accomplishment from the things we do. We get a feeling of purpose, but ultimately, the vine that gives us meaning and purpose is Jesus. Work is good and healthy, and enjoying your work and finding satisfaction in your work is good. But we cannot connect to work in place of Jesus. We manage our money. Good stewardship is important. Being generous with the money we have is great. Planning for a financial future, there's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, the vine that gives us security and stability is not the money vine. It's Jesus. Money itself is not bad or evil, but you cannot connect to money in place of Jesus. And there's a danger there because that happens. Entertainment is not a bad thing. Watching the Bengals tomorrow night. Hopefully that won't be a bad thing. Playing a round of golf or curling up with a good book and a cup of hot chocolate. Watching a movie or your favorite show. But ultimately the vine that gives us true joy and true enjoyment, true pleasure in life, isn't the entertainment vine, it's Jesus. That's where that should come from. We cannot connect to entertainment in place of Jesus. We cannot connect to work or money or entertainment or whatever other vines there are in your life, whatever other vines there are out there. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Among all the other things that you could connect to, I am the one thing that is the best thing that you can connect to. These other vines, they're not going to give us what he will. We must be connected to Jesus first and only. He continues, he says, he removes, talking about the gardener, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. So you will be pruned. Like the initial dying process, this dying process of the seed and rebirth, this process of pruning, we will lose parts of ourself to detract, the parts that detract from bearing fruit. Because fruit bearing is the goal. Bearing fruit is the goal. A grapevine, if you think about, I mean, this illustration was great for their time. We're not as connected to grapevines and vineyards, but back then it was a way of life. It would have been very well known, his illustration of the vineyard. With a grapevine, when a grapevine is left to itself, it will just grow wild. It will expand and take over territory, and it's a survival thing. If you're going to survive, you need to take over territory. You need to expand, and what it'll do is it'll use all of its energy to take over territory, and it'll actually produce very little grapes, very little clusters of grapes, not a whole lot of fruit, because it's focusing its energy on expanding. A grapevine, to be fruitful, needs a gardener. There has to be that relationship there. I think it's awesome that God put this together, made an illustration out of it, and something that we can see in real life. A grapevine needs a gardener to prune it. When the grapevine is trimmed properly, it will use its energy to grow fruit instead of expanding, pruning. How much energy do we spend on expanding? An effort of self-preservation, taking over things, trying to grab a hold of things to hold on to security and survival. Think about how much energy we spend doing that. When really these things are things that we should just let go and let God have and trust him with those things. How much more fruit would we bear if we took the energy we spent on survival if we took the energy we spent on expanding, if we took the energy we spent on self-preservation, and we just trusted God with those things, and we took our energy and we focused it towards bearing fruit, how much fruit would we bear? Just like the grapevine. We need the gardener to prune us, and so then we produce fruit for the gardener's pleasure, not for expansion of our own feelings of security. So if you're connected to the vine, you will be pruned. It's part of the process, and it's a very healthy part of the process. Jesus wants to make sure that his followers and we, you know, 2,000 years later, understand that this process of pruning is not the death and rebirth of the seed. He says, you have already been cleansed by the word I've spoken to you. So you're already clean. Jesus reminds them that they've already gone through this death and rebirth of becoming disciples, becoming followers of him. You're not seeds now. You are branches on the vine. That's what we are. You've already died as the seed, and God has brought you back to life. That process doesn't need to happen again, but the pruning process feels like that. But it's not a full death and rebirth. What it is, it's death of pieces of you being removed so that you can produce more life, so that you can produce more fruit. And so it feels like that. But it is a different situation, and Jesus wants to make sure we understand that. Constant attention by the gardener or the vine grower. He continues, he says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear what? Much fruit, there it is. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So abide in Jesus. Live in Jesus. Find your life in Jesus. He's the vine. We are the branches. Find life in him and you will bear fruit. Not just fruit, what? Much fruit. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Otherwise, you risk being removed from the vine. And those are Jesus' words, very clear in this passage. Not mine. Not an interpretation. Not the words of a commentator. Jesus says very clearly, the branches that don't bear fruit, what happens to them? They're cut off. It's different than pruning. The branch is cut off and thrown away. I don't think we take the business of bearing fruit as seriously as we should. Like we talked last week, Jesus isn't just some great teacher or a role model that we look at the things he says and we say, you know what, that's good advice. I should maybe take that or maybe I can find a way to apply that to my life if I kind of move it and, you know, mold it a little bit. No. We mold to his truth. We mold to his commands. And when he says bearing fruit is the goal and bearing much fruit is the goal, then that's what we should be doing. And when he says things like this, we should perk up and say, you know what? That's serious business according to Jesus. Jesus says, if you're not doing this, what happens to branches that don't bear fruit? They get cut off. Bearing fruit is the goal. And if you are bearing fruit, good. If you aren't, then you should be afraid. It's that big of a deal. Love is the core fruit that we bear. Jesus, a couple verses down from this, in verse 12, he says, this is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. We show evidence of being on the vine by how we treat other Christians. How we treat other Christians. One of the best ways that we can reach out, this act of reaching out, the best way that we can outreach, one of the best ways is to show others how much we love each other. And that might sound a little weird. But if you think about it, I mean, the advertising market, the advertising business has discovered the effectiveness of this. Isn't this what they do? They present a preferred environment or preferred life situation. Wouldn't you be happier if this were your life? Wouldn't you feel better if this was the way you lived? Wouldn't you be more successful if this were your situation? We can help you get that with 4 easy payments of $19.95. Jesus had the corner on this type of advertising 2,000 years ago. If you want to show people how great it is to have Jesus in your life, love each other. Love others in the church. And I'm not just talking about inside this building. I'm talking about Christians, period. Those outside, if they see that kind of love and how we treat each other, they'll want to be inside. Those not connected to the vine, they'll want to be connected to the vine because the vine will be a desired place to be. I think this is where the church has kind of missed its mark a little bit in the years past. People look at a lacking church, a church that's not loving each other, and they say, you know what, that's not an environment that seems desirable. That vine doesn't seem like something I'd want to be a part of. I tell you what, when we love each other as Christians and people come in and they see that and they witness that, that is outreach. People see a life situation and say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. That looks good. That looks like it would be fulfilling. That looks like it would lift me up. That looks like it would be a part of my life that I'm missing. And if we're not bearing fruit and being part of that, the fruit of loving one another, we're missing out on that huge yet simple way of reaching out to others. So love each other. Bear the fruit of loving each other. Another agricultural illustration that Jesus gives in Scripture is about the soil. This is going to be a familiar parable to a lot of you. It's in a few of the Gospels. I'm going to read from Mark here. Jesus says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Some fell on rocky soil, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. So let's write this down. The soil must be good to produce a healthy crop. The soil must be good to produce a healthy crop. Bearing fruit is the measured result of how receptive we are to God's truth and teachings, to God's word, the seed planted in us. Our fruit, the crop we produce, is a direct measured result of how effective God's word has been in our life, how it's grown in our life. Healthy things grow. That's what they do. Healthy things grow. Healthy fruit trees bear fruits. That's what they do. You must be good soil. You can't be the path. And paths are hard. Why are they hard? Because people have walked on them. People have trampled on them. You know, people are going to walk on you sometimes in life. Sometimes they're going to think you're the path, but you have to resist becoming the path. You have to resist becoming hard-hearted from bitterness, from the bitterness of brutal people in your life. You have to fight against that and keep being good soil. You can be rocks. That's possible for our soil to become rocky soil. Don't just spring up with a shallow root base, but cultivate the soil around you so that it's going to grow deep roots. Use the good times. Use the times of peace in your life to grow deep roots, because those times of peace, those good times in life, that's not all life is made up of. Use the seasons in your life that are good to grow and deepen your relationship with God so that when the tough times come, you will be able to stand through them and you will not wither when the sun comes up. Don't just cruise through the good times. Use the good times to grow and deepen and grow roots, because the scorching sun of troubled times will come up over the horizon of your life from time to time, and we must be prepared. And we can find ourselves among thorns sometimes, can't we? Jesus makes sure that we don't miss this. He says, this is the worries, these are the worries of life, the thorns. Don't let the worries of this life choke you out. Money worries. They won't grow to cut off your oxygen supply if you don't let them grow in your soil. Health concerns will come up from time to time, but don't give them the ability to choke out the effectiveness of God's word because you're worrying about them. The health concerns will come. That'll happen. Money problems will happen. But what the problem is when we allow the thorns to grow in our soil, and those thorns are worry. And that worry grows up and chokes out the word of God in us. Political worries. Boy, there's just been a whole lot of that going on recently. Worrying about your children. Worrying about your parents. Worrying about clowns. Whatever it is, don't let worry grow in your soil. It will choke you out. It will cut off the life-giving oxygen supply of God's word planted in you. So don't let it grow. Be good soil. Know the value of good soil. Return to that idea, the basics of that. I must cultivate good soil to produce a crop, to produce much fruit, because that's the goal. Focus on health, because healthy things bring fruit. Healthy fruit trees bring fruit. And fruit will reach out. What does Jesus say about the crop? The good soil comes up and it produces a crop of what? 30 times? 60 times? Even 100 times. Jesus says if you have good soil, it's not just going to be one fruit tree. It's going to multiply. It's going to grow. If you bear fruit, it will reach out. That is outreach. And yes, last week and this week, we can't look at that and say, well, that's too simple. I don't know if that would work. No. It's simple and it works. Be thankful and grateful. It's simple. See, God doesn't want something he wants to have happen to be impossible. He's made outreach very possible for every one of us, every personality type, introvert, extrovert, whatever you are, you know, ENFG or INFP, or you know, if you're doing Myers-Briggs or if you're DISC test, you know, the D or the ISC, whatever you are personality, he wanted to make outreach something that every one of us could do. Be the light that will reach out. Bear fruit. It's not just going to produce one fruit tree. You bear fruit, it's going to multiply 30, 60, even 100 times. So let's shift gears yet again. Let's write this down. Bearing fruit is a treasure of the heart issue. Bearing fruit is a treasure of the heart issue. Fruit is the evidence of the hidden treasure in your heart. Since that's a lot to write down, Jim, I'm going to read the next scripture, but we won't have it on the screen. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up where? In his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. Good trees cannot bear bad fruit. Bad trees cannot bear good fruit. You're going to know what kind of tree you are by the fruit you bear. For out of the mouth, or for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. See, what you hold is treasure in your heart. Whatever that is. If you'd open the treasure box of your heart and peer into that, whatever that is, that's where your fruit's going to come from. Good or bad. Whatever it is you treasure, that's what you're going to bear fruit with in your life. So what treasure is stored up in your heart? I hope it's Jesus. I hope it's the saving gospel of grace and mercy. I hope it is the love of God. I hope it is the amazing presence of the Holy Spirit living in your life, being active in your life. I hope it's the priceless word of God, full of absolute truth and wisdom for living. What treasure is stored up in your heart? What things are of most value? And you can tell by looking at your fixed resources. You can tell by looking at the fruit. Fixed resources, things we only have a certain amount of. You know, your money. What do you spend your money on? That'll tell you what you treasure. What do you spend your time on? Where does your time go? That will tell you what you treasure in your heart. Where do you spend your emotional and mental energy? What do you find your mind most thinking about? What do you find most burdening your heart, most on your emotions? It's going to tell you what's in your treasure box. Is it Jesus? Is it God's kingdom? See, if we're going to bear fruit, that fruit comes from the good stored up in our heart, and a good tree bears good fruit. It's a treasure of the heart issue. Paul talks about bearing fruit. He talks about this fruit of the Spirit. If you want healthy soil, keep bad things out of your life. If you want to bear good fruit, keep the things of this world from being your heart's treasures. Keep Jesus and things of God to be your heart's treasures, and bear the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Then Paul gives us a list of things that are evidence of the sinful nature being in control of us, and then he shares this list that's evidence of the Holy Spirit being in control of us. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, when God has full influence of my mind, certain qualities will naturally be present. When God has full influence of my mind, certain qualities will be naturally present. These qualities right here, and I think, aren't they, they're on this slide? Yes, I did. These qualities: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit, not the fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. They're all part of one thing, not individual things. But I want you to go through these qualities. I want you to rate them 1 through 9. Your strongest to your weakest, and that's right, I said your weakest. I'm not always politically correct. In fact, I'm probably more not than I am. List them from your best to your worst, number 1 to number 9. Wah, wah, wah. The one that you're great at and the one that you're awful at. Okay, sorry, that was probably a bit too harsh. But you get the picture. See, and that will show you where you need to let God have more access to your heart. You'll see areas that you're most connected to Jesus as the vine. You'll see areas that are influenced less by bad soil in your life. You'll see the results of good soil in your top numbers. You'll see the results of being good soil, but you'll also see the results of being a bitter path, or having a shallow root system, or allowing the thorns of worry to grow up around you, alongside you. See, if you show these qualities of the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, you will represent God. You will follow in the example of Jesus. And that kind of living reaches out to others, not because you're consciously participating in outreach, but because you're simply a tree that bears fruit that will attract people to the Spirit inside you. Jesus, the Jesus you call Lord, the God you call Father. See, because bearing fruit is the goal. In fact, you can even write in there, bearing much fruit is the goal. The seed must die to bring life. You have died, those of you who are Christians this morning. If you're not a Christian, it can happen today to die to yourself, to be reborn into new life. But those of us who are Christians here, we have done that. We've died. The seed has died. The purpose of the death was to bring life, to bear much fruit. The branch must stay connected to the vine to bear much fruit. And there are a lot of elements involved in that truth. The soil must be good to produce a healthy crop, and a healthy crop produces fruit. Bearing good fruit is a treasure of the heart issue. And when God has full access, full influence of my mind, certain qualities will be naturally present: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you will look at the tree you are, and you will know, this is the tree I am because this is the fruit I bear, because this is the treasure stored in my heart. And that will reach out.